Sundaranandan. Sanjeev Agarwal, wave your hand there, wave your hand. He is the chairman of our fundraising committee to make sure it gets built on time and the funds are in place. If you have any queries, this evening later on you can meet Sundaranandan. He has a whole team working with him on the Sri Krishna Veli project. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. You know, I came to Bhaktivedanta Manor in 1980. It wasn't Bhaktivedanta Manor. I first came, I went direct to Sri Chaitanya College, which is now maybe something you visit. There's a festival there once a year, and it's called Krum Koit. And it was in our possession from 79 to 80. 86, 84. I won't talk any more about it. I get emotional if I do. And it was a sort of loss for the UK entre. And at that time, when I first came, then it was such a wonderful experience being in a crowded temple room. That was a long time ago, and 36 years of being shoved around, things have changed. It's still crowded, extremely crowded, and it's not what Srila Prabhupada envisaged. Srila Prabhupada wanted. When he came to Bhaktivedanta Manor and he walked the grounds, then we have this parking lot over here, which you may have known was a tennis court. And Srila Prabhupada wanted a 30-story temple constructed on the tennis court, just in case you want to translate it. Haveli means temple in our language. Srila Prabhupada, well, 30 stories, I don't know, it's not something that necessarily fits into Brisbane Borough Council's software. They settled for one story. and that's good. That took a lot of struggle. It took 20 years to get here. It took from 1986 to the present time, which is 30 years. It took 20 years of fighting and then another 10 years of negotiation. And it's something that that really will be a very glorious and wonderful thing. This was just to get the permission to do something. Now that we got the permission, now's the opportunity to do it. We should all really take part in that. In that opportunity, because this is Bhaktivedanta Manor. It is the United Kingdom. It's England. It's London, and which has a very special place in terms of historical context of India. Of course, as you know, India was under British domination for over 200 years, and it suffered intensely, and it was under Muslim Mughal domination for 1,000 years prior to that, and India's culture really, really suffered. Here, Srila Prabhupada, in his taking Indian culture around the world and then, of course, finally coming here to India, sort of regaining a certain sense of pride that not only India, because Prabhupada was neither Indian nor are we Indian, but India actually really means the original spiritual culture of this world. The beating that the original Vedic culture took at the hands of the British is at least someone being vindicated, was the word that I was looking for, by establishing Krishna consciousness here. And it's something that's a little more fitting than a place called Piggott's Manor. I mean, the sound vibration itself doesn't really quite inspire you to spiritual life. Piggott's Manor. That's what this was. That's what it's originally called. But it is actually New Gokula, and Radha Gokulananda's home. Although somehow or another, Radha Gokulananda seems to be quite attached to Piggott's Manor because they're going to be staying here. But nonetheless, it's something that we really need to participate in. I didn't mention that, but I did bring it up during our National Council meeting in Hungary, that the Hungarian Yatra should try to see what they can budget in to help with the Haveli. They didn't get an answer yet. But they're calculating. I'll let you know. By January. By January I should have an answer. And devotees, who's participating in helping build TOVP? Really, that's all? Okay. Anyway, that's a very important project. If you want to see your business grow, and if you want to see your family grow, and if you want to see everyone healthy and wealthy and wise, then help construct TOVP in Mayapur, whatever degree you can do that. And same thing here. Bhaktivedanta Manor is, Srila Prabhupada called it, this is our national headquarters. And it's like the heart of the Krishna consciousness movement in the United Kingdom. You can see that it really thrives, it beats. It's going on 24 hours a day. And if you nourish the heart, then everything else will be very healthy. There's a transcendental connection in the same way that there's a transcendental connection between the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and Sridhar Mayapur. There's also a transcendental connection between the United Kingdom and Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is not to belittle any other center and their role, but it is a fact, particularly because Radha Krishna Deity is still being established here, not the first, because Radha Lama Nishwar were the first deities. But if you can contribute to this, and if you can help to make this happen, it will nourish your spiritual life. You'll feel it's the right thing to do. You know, generally when you give to Krishna, you don't feel after, I just did the wrong thing. But you feel that, yes, I did the right thing. And this will certainly be the right thing Krishna gives to us. And he gives every day. Because we're eating every day, we're breathing every day, we're getting paychecks. Well, you don't get a paycheck every day. Or if you do, you're doing pretty well, then you should really see the syndrome. But we should, according to everyone's ability, participate. It's a wonderful project. It will please Radha Gokulananda, it will please Srila Prabhupada, and ultimately it will do wonders for our own community, and it will do wonders for actually giving Krishna consciousness to the rest of the world around us. Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow morning. No, actually, we've got another hour. I am going to just continue because I can't, if I keep starting at the beginning and giving introductory lectures, and there are some devotees who have already been here, and there's more to the story. So you're coming in on verse 6 of the ninth chapter. This is a very special pastime. I will just briefly describe the spiritual significance of, or a spiritual significance of, this Damodar Lila, and I'll just call it that in general. That's Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And Krishna consciousness is a very, it's a very general term, but it also has a very specific definition. So it's defined by Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakta sabhagita mati kriya api kuto vinabhati labhyate tatyaloyam api muyam ekalam janma koti sukriti na labhyate. Krishna bhakta sabhagita mati, that's Krishna consciousness. So the transcendental mellow of serving, loving devotional service to Krishna, that's both Krishna consciousness. And Srimad Bhagavatam in its 12 cantos is meant to introduce us to actually a new realm of spirituality and spiritual understanding which has not been known generally and not been practiced in this world. And it's actually the secret of the Vedas when Krishna says, Raja Vidyam. He's speaking of something which is quite simple. Bhagavad Gita is not a secret. Everyone knows Bhagavad Gita. But many people know Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam introduces us to Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, to devotional service. But there's a special type of devotional service which is described here in the 10th canto. Now, unfortunately for people who are of Indian origin, they have experience with what are called Bhagavad Saptahas. Who's been at a Bhagavad Saptah? Which is not done by Gaudiya Vaishnava. You have, somehow. Or you've heard of them. Anyway, it goes on. These are professional Bhagavatam reciters. And they hop in right here at the 10th canto, and very often they make much ado about, particularly from chapters 29 to 33, which is all about the rasa dance. But that's like starting to construct a skyscraper on the 45th floor and working your way back down. It's not something that works scientifically. That's like, they look very good. These hats. A new Krishna conscious.
Health and safety.
Srimad Bhagavatam actually qualifies and directs our attention to the perfection of devotional service of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the 10th canto, introduces us to a different concept, a different type of devotion. And that devotion is something which sort of supersedes, or rather pushes into the background a devotional service which is in what is called the mood of Aishwarya, or the mood of awe and reverence. Now, in all religions, God is worshipped with awe and reverence. And similarly, in Vaishnavism, there are many Vaishnava sampradayas where Krishna is worshipped, different incarnations of Krishna are the primary Ishtadeva. And, however, anarpitam chiram chirat karunavati anakalo. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, by the way, who's, I asked yesterday also, who read Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, well, that's not a resounding number. And Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, it's like, it's compulsory reading. To really understand Krishna consciousness, you need to be able to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, you're not quite clear about what you're here for. Srimad Bhagavatam is really the basis. And let me just divert for a moment, and I'll just come back to where I was. Where was I? I was Anarkitam Charin Chirat, yes. Why is Srimad, I'm just going to divert to why is Srimad Bhagavatam important? Because you can't get spiritual perfection without knowing Srimad Bhagavatam. So in other words, you can't be Krishna conscious. You can chant Hare Krishna, and you can do perform devotional service, and you can construct a Haveli, and you can do many things. And with all of that, you can attain liberation, but you can't go to Vaikuntha. So this Haveli, its main function and its main purpose is to give everyone the opportunity of Sadhu Sangha and of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and studying Srimad Bhagavatam together. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Katekim Vaparyarishwaraha. So Bhagavatam begins with this statement. Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you read this, you don't need anything else. Unfortunately, we waste our time by reading so many things, seeing so many things, which don't really give us the essence of life and don't allow us to actually attain real perfection. So Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, I'm not going to ask how many people read Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which is also very important because it elaborates upon it gives in more detail actually the substance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam was not spoken to a very elevated audience. There were many jnanis, yogis, karmis, and some transcendentalists present. So Shukadeva Goswami spoke in very general terms, and often when you got a little too specific, then either he would stop himself, or Parikshit Maharaj stopped him by the question that he asked. And so it wasn't too confidential. Sanatana Goswami, when he talks about the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's what Brihad Bhagavatam Gita is, then he's speaking a lot of things in very explicit language that Shukadeva Goswami didn't speak. Okay. But in that Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is described how Gop Kumar, who represents all of us, he's a devotee on a journey back to Krishna. He knows about Krishna, and he's also very pure-hearted. And he gets as far as, well, he gets to the Brahmajyoti, and then he's on his way to Kailash, except that Lord Shiva is leaving Kailash, so he meets Lord Shiva in the realm of liberation. And after meeting with Lord Shiva, he also meets with the Vaikuntha Dutas. They're on their way to the material world for preaching. And they stop by and they tell Gop Kumar that Gop Kumar is sinless, never committed a sin in his life. He's pure-hearted. He was Brahma. He's already seen Garbhadaksha Vishnu. He's seen Vamandeva. He's seen the Mahapurush. He's seen the origin of the Brahma Jyoti. He sees Krishna. Despite the fact that he's so spiritually advanced, they say, by the way, you better go back to Vrindavan and you better study Srimad Bhagavatam because you're not getting beyond this realm of liberation. You can't get any further. Because you don't really have Bhagavatattva. Bhagavatattva Vijnana Mukta Sangha Sajayati. You don't really actually understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, you're not able to really develop your love for Krishna. Because although you have a strong attachment, you don't know who he is, and you don't know all the tattva or the principle behind it. How can you love someone you don't know? We all have experience with that. We love people whom we know. You can't love strangers. You can have an affair with a stranger, but you can't love him. So he had to go back. He came back to Boma Vrindavan, he came back to Mathura, he he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, and as soon as he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, his spiritual life ripened, and immediately he was able to then be promoted to Vaikuntha, and he attained prema. Anyway, now, back to where we left off. Chiram Chirat. So, that type of devotional service, which also Gop Kumar was tasting, which is a devotional service where love for Krishna dominates knowledge of Krishna's divinity, knowledge of Krishna's greatness, dominates so much so that one actually loses sight of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, of course, that's not something that, all right, well, I don't have to know anything about Krishna's divinity. Because before you can, just like, before you can forget, or before knowledge of Krishna's divinity recesses into the background, you have to actually be convinced about Krishna's divinity. Just like sometimes people want to become very spontaneous in spiritual life, and they say, well, ultimately, spontaneous life means forgetting about the rules. But no, it doesn't work like that. First, you have to be a perfect follower of the rules in order to actually develop spontaneous devotion. You don't become spontaneous just by doing whatever you want. That's not called being spontaneous. So, there are these two types of devotion. This type of devotion, which is worship of the Lord in awe and reverence according to the rules and regulations, is called Vaini Bhakti. And there's another type of devotional service which is called spontaneous devotional service, or it's called Raga Bhakti. And it awakens particularly when one attains bhava or ecstatic devotional service. But it requires a certain type of direction, it requires a certain type of guidance. And it's for this type of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in sequence in one day at Brahma. Lord Ramachandra gives the opportunity for many people to enter into Lord Krishna's Leela. And sometime in the future, discuss that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually opens the door to Krishna's pastimes, which in Srila Prabhupada's words was accessible to people in the hundreds. Not many people really understood what Krishna was doing and what he was actually presenting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it readily available, and his followers also presented that. So Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us about Krishna's divinity, and at the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam introduces this other aspect of Krishna, which is his personality. So we talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, everywhere else in the Bhagavatam, we read about Krishna acting as God. But that's like Krishna's role. You could say it's his job. Although Natasyakari, he has nothing really to do. But over and above what Krishna does and how he reciprocates with people's worship to his majesty and his divinity, Krishna is also a person. And to get to know him as a person, you have to go beyond his divinity also. Because in certain ways, Krishna's divinity blocks knowing his personality. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn about Krishna's personality. And of course, it starts with his birth. Janma karma cha medhyam evam cha vitti tatvataha. So once again, Krishna says again, tatvata. You have to know me in truth. You have to know the tatva about my janma and my karma. And of course, this goes back to what we're talking about, knowing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam presents these tattva, these principles. And no other Vedic scripture does. no other Purana, no Vedanta, no Upanishad, nothing actually will present all the truths that are necessary for one to attain the level of God. Therefore it says, Kimba Paririshvara Satya Ridyavadudyate. This you get the Satya, the goal that you want, the ultimate goal of life, you can only attain by this transcendental literature. So it's so important. And of course it begins by Krishna's appearance in Mathura, and Krishna then being transferred to Vrindavan, to Gokula. Krishna takes birth again in Gokula, and that's another story, another Leela pastime. And Kamsa becomes very aware, and the evidence of Krishna's birth in Mathura is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. I won't go back to the first chapter, but you know how when Krishna takes birth in prison of Kamsa, it's actually not the prison, it's the place where the wrestlers lived, and that's where was the Chanura, Mushmushtika, and so on. They were actually the guards. And because Kamsa kept a lot of wrestlers, so where the wrestlers were kept, that's where Devaki and Vasudev also were. That was the so-called prison. It was a prison. And Krishna appeared, he manifests his majestic form, and Devaki asked, "No, you better hide this because Kamsa is going to come and kill you." So Krishna then resumed his little baby-like form, and, or at least Vasudev assumed a baby-like form, and then his father took him across the river and exchanged him with Yogamaya, who it describes as Srimad Bhagavatam had taken birth. Yogamaya brought Yogamaya back. Kamsa heard that the eighth child was born. It was a girl. Anyway, he was goaded on to killing her. But he couldn't. You can't kill Krishna's potency in Yogamaya. And when he tried to dash on a stone, there's a stone. Krishna, Kamsa used the same stone to kill all the children. Grabbed him by the leg. And she just flew up in the air. And what did she say?
You fool.
You fool. And we know that part because Bhaktivedanta players play that. You fool, the child. But what else did she say? No, didn't say
he's
transfer.
Born elsewhere.
She says he's born elsewhere. Why did she say he's born elsewhere if he was born in the prison? Because he's born elsewhere. Because Krishna wasn't born in Mathura, he was born elsewhere. He was born in Gokula. And she should know because they were twins. Krishna was born first, and she was. No. Which one comes first? Doctor. The elder one comes first or the younger one? The elder one comes first and the younger one. Are you sure?
The
younger one comes first because the elder one is conceived first, so he's first and the younger one second. Therefore, the younger one comes out first and the one who's conceived first comes out second. Anyway, they're twins, Krishna and Subhadra. Krishna and Yogamaya. And so she said, yes, he's born elsewhere. So Bhagavatam's there. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport how he was born there, and this baby Vasudeva Krishna entered into the form of Krishna. And that's the birth. And not long thereafter, then you've got Putana comes and Trinavarta comes, and we see, yes, this is the Supreme Personality of God. He's killing all of these extraordinary demons, and he seems to be strong enough. that Krishna's afraid to come on his own to face and challenge him. After all, it's not very far away. It's very minimal distance. Right now, all you do is you just sort of cross the bridge and you go downstream, and you're there in Gokula. Anyway, he didn't. And then this pastime comes, and this pastime is introduced, and now I'll move on to a new thing. This pastime is introduced by Mother Yashoda, second time seeing in her, I don't know why I keep doing this, it's just my hand, but anyway, and looking into Krishna's mouth, this is Krishna, and seeing the universe. I'm not seeing the universe in my hand, I'm seeing my karmic lines. And looks into his mouth, and she sees the universe and has this appreciation that this is not an ordinary child. Of course, she's not ordinary, because already it seems that all of these great demons are dying around him. Either they're caused by him, or maybe he's just so pious that Lord Narayan is protecting him. Of course, they're Vaishnavas. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and she just becomes very philosophical, and she just becomes, maybe he is something extraordinary, maybe he's a demigod, maybe he's the Supreme Lord. And at that point, then Krishna becomes a little, he doesn't want her thinking along these lines. And so Krishna invokes his potencies, and Mother Yashoda stops thinking of Krishna as God and starts thinking of him as her son. So how do you stop thinking of God as God and start thinking of him as her son? And Parikshit Maharaj, at this point, he's part of the exchange, of course, because it takes an extraordinary hearer to reciprocate with the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. As extraordinary as Sukadeva Goswami is, that extraordinary Parikshit Maharaj is. As extraordinary a speaker of Bhagavad Gita as Krishna is, Arjuna is the perfect disciple. Shishastiham Sarimam. So Parikshit Maharaj then introduces, now here's something to actually highlight that this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is leading up to. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know, now what am I supposed to do when I'm about to leave this world? Everyone's giving so much advice. Parikshit Maharaj wasn't interested in all of that advice. And in the midst of all of the different sages and different people giving different types of things, then Shukadeva Goswami comes. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately recognizes who he is. Everyone else recognizes who he is. They know he's the son of Vyas. And he's the son of Vyas. And he is someone who... He is someone who's assimilated the cream of the Vedic literature. And what does he say? Etarne vidyamana namichatam nakutobayam yoginam apinirvitam hariyanam anakirtanam. This is the first thing out of Shukadeva Goswami's mouth. What's the best thing for people about to die? Hariyanam anakirtanam. Chanting the Lord's names. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then it comes up again and again and again and again. Chanting the Lord's names, glories, pastimes. This is the best thing. And what pastimes? Well, you chant those pastimes that are commensurate or in line with the type of perfection that you want to attain. And now, Parikshit Maharaj wants to highlight these cowherd men and cowherd women. They actually have a certain, they have achieved the perfection, which is actually the ultimate perfection of life. There's no perfection higher than this. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what's going to be not half of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's going to be a quarter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's going to be the 10th canto, half of the 10th canto, more or less, is Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. That's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Krishna goes to Mathura, and Krishna goes to Dwarka, and then there's the 11th and 12th cantos. So this 25% of Srimad Bhagavatam, these, you can say, 50 chapters, or almost 50 chapters, this is what the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is, and this describes the topmost perfection. It's the same topmost perfection that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, and that's why Srila Prabhupada introduces Srimad Bhagavatam with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's an overview of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings, because they're very closely related. So it's a very extraordinary situation. Here are these cowherd men and cowherd women who are living very simple lives. They tend animals. They also do, they're not just cowherd men, they also do agriculture, gardening, and other things. But more or less they live off of the produce of cows, milk products, and so on. They trade those, and that's how they become extremely opulent and extremely rich. But they're very simple people. They're not Brahmins. They're not even Kshatriyas, actual Vaishyas. Even Nanda Maharaj, although we call him Maharaj, he's not a Kshatriya. He's a Vaishya. And they're not highly educated. When Krishna goes to Gurukula, the reason he went off to Gurukula was because Vasudeva asked Nanda Maharaj, no, now he should actually go to Sandipani Muni's ashram and he should study. Although Vaishyas also get a certain, they were generally also receive training, but Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were not about to send Krishna away. They just preferred that he stayed there. Now you tend cows. Well, you need to know to tend cows. Krishna was already tending cows when he was 6 years old. Before that, he was taking care of the calves. So they're very simple. They're simple people. They have very simple habits. They're not very, at least by their own admission, or they use the word cultured, they're not so cultured, but they have something that no one else has, something that the demigods don't have, something that great sages don't have, something that even the most exalted devotee, and the most exalted devotee is Uddhava, doesn't have. They don't have. And they have this very spontaneous, natural love for Krishna, for who he is. Even though he's very feisty, even though he has different types of habits, he likes to steal, he likes to lie, he does things like that. But his personality is so sweet. His movements are so endearing. His body is so beautiful. Especially Krishna's face and his smile is so enchanting. And his words are like the sound of the Vedas in very poetic form. They love Krishna for all of these things, for what's called, they love Krishna for his sweetness. And Krishna may be God. And sometimes they see Krishna exhibit his divinity, but it doesn't, I'm sure you all have some experience of that. This country has a prime minister, again, another one. And that prime minister has a husband. The husband and the previous one had a wife. And these spouses, they have a very, I'm assuming, they have a very affectionate relationship for each other. That doesn't matter. Who cares? You're prime minister, that doesn't mean anything to me. And that's not why I'm loving you. I don't love you because you're prime minister. Because it may mean that 4 years from now we get a divorce when you're no longer the prime minister. But, and it doesn't, and Krishna, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I won't ask who's read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Krishna actually says himself, actually this type of worshipping me in you're loving me because I'm God, and what if I wasn't God? Would you love me then? So they love him even if he's not God. Everyone else loves him because he's God. But Krishna says, but that doesn't actually really attract me, and it doesn't draw my heart. It's not enough. Because what if I wasn't God? Of course, he'll continue to be God. But still, it's a certain type of condition, and unconditional love, Srila Prabhupada uses earlier on, he talks about the story, I forget the word, Sanskrit word that he uses. Anyway, pure Kevala Bhakti. Kevala Bhakti, pure. Not because Hanuman's love or Devaki's love or Vasudeva's love, it's not that their love or Prahlad Maharaj is not pure, but it has this factor in it, yes. He is the Supreme Personality of God. We love him because he's God. But here, they don't love him because he's God. They love him because for who he is, for the person that he is. And they love him very, very, and it's very natural, and it's very spontaneous, and it's very powerful, and it's the only type of love that ultimately controls Krishna. You can't control him. No one else can control him. But they control him, and they bring him under control. So when we have this Damodar Leela, and I'm sorry this was like a long lead-in, but there has to be some underlying understanding. So when you see this rope, and this rope ties Krishna, it's making a pronouncement. Now you know the story, so I don't have to go into all the details of the story, I'll just concentrate on a certain aspect. But Krishna is bound with this rope. You can't tie down God with anything else other than the type of love that Mother Yashoda has. And to get it, you have to hear about it. You have to want it. You have to follow in their footsteps. And ultimately, you have to have their blessings. And this is a unique type of sadhana. This is the sadhana that's born out of deep study of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and intense chanting of Hare Krishna. And it's the type of sadhana that's being described here. Now generally, we're used to sadhana being something that I'm doing, I'm getting up in the morning, and so on. But here, sadhana means is that you actually develop an inner mood, you cultivate an inner mood according, once you have an inner mood. Until you have inner mood, there's no point in trying to cultivate it. So therefore, it's not something that's artificial. But once that inner mood, which is a certain type of a sakti, or an attachment towards Krishna grows, then the attachment itself is cultivated along a certain line. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he constantly heard about Krishna. He constantly heard about Krishna's associates. And therefore, this part of Srimad Bhagavatam is such an essential aspect or an essential feature of our cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And so Bhagavatam says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Always hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just in class, but constantly. In a way that actually cultivates that particular mood of devotion for which one is aspiring for. And that's that rope. This is the only rope. This type of bhakti is the only rope that will ultimately bring God under control. Not that we're trying to control him, but that's part of the relationship, is that in love, a lover and beloved, they control each other. Not just that Krishna's controlling us with his love, but actually we're also controlling Krishna. And not for the sake of control, but for the sake of maturity of love. In other words, to actually have love manifest fully, it will only take place in this way. And Pariksit Maharaj, when you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he understands this in great depth, and he elaborates on it in great depth. So Prema Kumarta Mahan, what does it mean? And this is being described. And Araya Bhagavan Vajesha Panyastha Dhamma Vrindavana Muramya Kachchit Upasana Vajabhatku Vargya Vaprabhuta Srimad Bhagavatam Amapuranam Prema Kumarta Mahan. One of the, this is written by a Srinath Chakravarti in his Chaitanya Manjusha commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam. And I don't know why, but when Gopi Pandam Prabhu was doing the commentaries for me, translating the commentaries, he was also translating Srinath Chakravarti. So I have, when he comments, and the commentaries weren't so extensive as some others, when he comments, I also had his commentary. But this verse is something that Prabhupada said, this is the essence of our philosophy. Again, this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the essence of Krishna consciousness. Arayo bhagavan bhajesha taniyasta dhama vrindavana varamya kachit upasana rajabhagavatam. Rajabhagavatam means gopis, young gopis, old gopis. How they loved Krishna, Rajabhakti, and prema kumar to Mahamudra. Prema is a word. It represents love. What kind of love? There's so many different types of love. Hanuman has love for Lord Ramachandra. Prahlad Maharaj loves Lord Nisimhadev. He's in one of the nine varshas and is eternally praying to Lord Nisimhadev over there. Aside from, he's also elsewhere. Bali Maharaj has love for Lord Brahmadev. These are all different prema. And there's so many different types of love. We're all here. We all have different types of love for different types of people. But this type of love is the ultimate culmination. This is as far as love goes. And it has different types of evolution and development. There are four different types of this love. Technically there's five, but four are really mature. One is seeing Krishna as a master in Vrindavan, which is not the master as God, but serving him in a mood, in a servant mood. As a friend, as a parent, like Mother Yashoda, or as a lover, like the young gopis. So this, here we're